Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Birdcast, the official podcast of Wartburg Athletics. This is Trent Jackson, Wartburg Sports Information Director, back for episode number 12. For the first time, I had two guests on the podcast, Andrew Masiga-Wansolo and Cody Christofferson from the Wartburg men's soccer team. They're both juniors at Wartburg and helped organize a demonstration of Unity event here on campus earlier this month, so we learned more about the background of how that came about. Heard Andrew and Cody's stories, as well as some discussion about the challenges that the 2020 season has presented Wartburg men's soccer. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope you enjoy the conversation. During this episode of the Birdcast, I'm joined by a pair of Wartburg men's soccer players, Andrew Masiga-Wansolo and Cody Christofferson. Thanks for your time today. How's it going?
Pretty good.
Same here. Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah. So first off, why don't you guys go ahead and just introduce yourselves. You know, what year you are here at Wartburg, your major, where you're from?
So I'm Cody Christofferson, third-year soccer player. I'm a defender. I'm also a psychology major and a business minor.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm Andrew Masiga-Wansolo, like Trent said. I'm a third-year as well. Play soccer here at Wartburg College. And I'm also an exercise science major. Sorry about that.
Where are you from, Andrew?
Oh, yeah, I'm from Seattle, Washington.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, first, let's start talking about this fall. Obviously, your season, you know, was pushed back to the spring, but just walk us through some of the adjustments that you guys have had to make and, you know, what the focus has been throughout fall practice.
Andrew can start with this.
All right. The main focus, I think, our coach was kind of pushing for at first. I mean, still is, because he just had a kid too, it's kind of high risk to get COVID for him, of course, and we wouldn't want that to be on a little kid as well, or even anybody. So our practices started out as small groups and just like online Zoom meetings and everything like that. We didn't really meet in person for a few weeks, and then we started meeting in person, but it was like divided groups, so it was like four different groups. So that kind of just involved the freshman moment, because I remember my freshman year, you get to meet everybody during preseason, and yeah. You get to like know people by the end of the week, but this freshman had no idea what was going on, and like they're a bit confused. So our coaches adjusted really well to that, and just kind of making small groups and making sure you show up to meetings, making sure you take care of freshmen and what's need to be done. But then we moved into bigger groups, and it got a lot better. So you get to know more people personally, but. And then that's when we already had conversations going on about what's going on around us. And everything was just kind of clicking step by step. But it all started as small groups until, I mean, I think we're the only program on campus that hasn't had to quarantine because of a case or anything like that, mm-hmm. which is pretty impressive. It's an impressive record to show other athletes, and just the fact that we have, like, what, 44 people?
40,
yeah, something like that. It's pretty cool to be, like, all of us are training at the same time now, because it's been, like, what, a month and a half almost. Yeah. And now we're all back at training as one huge group and just having fun. So it all started small, but the smallest pieces make up the bigger piece. So that's how it went, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd say, like Andrew, we've kind of attacked it from three different areas. There's the racism piece, and then there's COVID, and then now there's soccer. So we've kind of treated those separate, but I've been very impressed on how we've kind of attacked all those different areas. It was kind of tough seeing us lose some of our seniors going into the season because some of them are graduating early. So a lot of us juniors have had to step up with our voices and just being more consistent. But I think that could help us in the long run because it'll give us more experience. So, I mean, it's all starting to kind of come together within the last couple of weeks, which is exciting to see.
Yeah, you just kind of touched on my next question. Do you think... Yeah, this kind of unique schedule has presented any kind of positives that you can, you know, take going forward?
It's allowed us to grow in different areas. Mm-hmm. Like, in the first 2 years, I mean, we didn't have to worry about paying to the attentions of COVID or to the details of COVID or tackling an issue as big as racism. So, I mean, the situations have just allowed us to kind of get out of our comfort zones and kind of move forward as a team.
Mm-hmm. Well, Cody, you already brought up a topic that, you know, I was one of the main reasons why I invited you guys on the episode today, and that's regarding, you know, a pretty cool event that you guys organized last week here on campus. And, you know, it was a gorgeous day for our community to gather in front of Old Main campus lawn for a good cause, which you guys deemed the Wartburg Demonstration of Unity. Just tell me about the goal of that event and how that all came about.
You want to take it?
Yeah, I can go.
Yeah, so that event to me is actually very emotional. When the idea first rolled out, it was kind of like a bulb, like it just like throwing it out there, just like a pitch, because I didn't think it would actually follow through. But our coach was actually like, he's somebody that I can rely on, because he's the only person, like, I think I was coming in, since I graduated high school, I went to Europe and did my thing, but like, Wartburg got a new coach, and then Madigan is the first coach I ever called in 2 years. And he was always willing to talk to me and everything. So I knew he would always stand up for me and stand up for the right thing. So when we kind of started talking about race and racism, I kind of felt open to talk to him about stuff like that. And I was really impressed with how the coaching staff and the soccer team was handling it, because it didn't just start like massive thing and just blow everybody to overwhelm everybody. It started as a small thing. So this is something we started, I think it was midsummer before we even came back to school, and started like Zoom meetings, and every Sunday we met and for an hour and a half or so, and we just talk about how to educate ourselves, how to learn, to lament. And then later on, obviously, there is going to be steps like acting, but that wasn't until we'll be at school. So we started growing personally, like the personal little self-growth through the summer. And by the time we get to school, we continue talking about it, like same thing we did during the summer, but different topics. We dive a little bit deeper. It's a topic you don't really want to talk about because it's very sensitive,
right. And
not everybody feels comfortable talking about it, you know. But it was one of those things where you could see growth of even the freshmen you've not seen share something, an experience in their lives where they've seen it, and they're like, I'm willing to learn from this. I'm willing to grow from this. Everybody was saying their own stories. It was so authentic. And I think that was the biggest thing, because the fact that it was that authentic, it just pushed us to be better at being human and understanding where others come from. Doesn't matter if you're Black, Latino, Asian, like, as long as you get the understanding of what's going on around you, we thought it was pretty important. So yeah, that continued on all through summer, and we came back to school, and we just had little meetings as well. Like, obviously, like we said earlier in the meeting, we had like, since of COVID, we just separated ourselves, and so we just kind of did whatever. But then a few weeks back, I think beginning of last month, Coach Madigan was like, we're thinking about this, and we want to call it the Wartburg Demonstration of Unity. Maybe we would just meet in front of Old Main and see who shows up. Like, it's an event where we feel like everybody should show up, because they need to show up, like they need to hear this. And I was like, Coach, if you need me to do anything, I'm down. Like, I don't. And then I was added on the team of leadership on our soccer team. And that was pretty cool, because like, I'm in meetings where I usually am not. Like, during a regular season without COVID, I would not be, because like, I think there is better leaders with their voices. But I think this is something I have to speak up for, and it's something I believe in. I believe in the change for it. So it was really cool just like how small it started and how big it's grown. So that's when we had the last meeting, and we met with you in W, and we talked about it, and you organized the posters. The posters were amazing. So the little advertisement we had, I think we had like 4 days of advertisement.
Yeah.
And that is usually not enough. But for the amount of people that showed up the next weekend on October 6th in front of Old Main was ridiculous. Because I thought it was going to be like 50 to 100 people, to be honest. But going up there and speaking, I kind of just started crying, because it was like, wow. It was like 400 people there. And it was pretty amazing to see, like, it's an amazing feeling when you see all your friends there. Because being an African-American, I'm like, okay, these are my friends. So no matter what, I know they have my back, you know. So that was one of the coolest things. Another cool thing I thought was the entire soccer team was in the front, showing the leadership, you know. Like, that's what needed to be done. And I think that we took that step really well. I think, like Coach Newsom said, like, we're going to still learn from generations to come. We're still learning. So that's something that I feel like other sports have also kind of participated in more now ever since that event. And they've started talking about it more and more open. It's not something that's under the shadows. It's not something where somebody will be like, yeah, we're working on it behind the scenes. because it's not a topic that needs to be behind the scenes, you know. So I thought that was pretty cool that it just took everybody out of their comfort zone and kind of like resubmerge them into what is going on now. Because COVID is important, yes, but like also Black Lives Matter is important, like equality is important. So that's something that's been huge, and I hope it just doesn't stop here for Warburg. Keeps on going even when we leave, because we're just juniors right now and we'll be seniors next year. So hopefully for the next generations to come, it's still here. It's going strong at Warburg, you know? So anything to add, Cody?
Yeah. First of all, thank you for the posters.
Yeah, my pleasure, man.
So perfect. Also, Madigan, I mean, he's been outstanding throughout all of this. We've had these talks since, I mean, literally George Floyd. I think that week we were talking, and the consistency of these conversations have really helped us continue to listen, learn, and act. And that's kind of this like phrase we're going with. So, yeah, thank you a lot. I mean, it means a lot just to have the opportunity to even speak out there. Like, I mean, it's an honor to see that many people. And Coach actually had the idea because we were in a meeting, and I've been talking with my Black and brown friends here and just asking them, like, are you guys getting any support? And they all felt that Warburg as a whole, like, in terms of faculty and staff, that they weren't quite doing enough. Like, we want them to feel more welcomed. And I think Mount Mercy actually had a demonstration of unity. That's how I got the idea for the name. Okay. I have some friends who go there, and they called it a demonstration of unity. We were calling it a gathering at that point. But I thought it was important that we kind of got all the athletic departments together and just like showed that, yes, this is an issue that we all care about. And now, like Andrew said, it's not an issue in the shadows. You just have to get out there and have a conversation. You just got to go for it. I mean, as long as respect is number one, then you can just move forward. So, yeah, it's been crazy the last couple of weeks kind of seeing that.
Yeah, it was super cool. I mean, and Andrew, I think, happened to stop by my office last week, I think a couple of days after Tuesday, and I could just tell you were so excited still. And I told him, too, like, I felt like, you know, there was, I think, four or five of you that went up and spoke, and I said, and obviously they were powerful messages, but I think the biggest thing was the fact, you know, it didn't really matter what you said. I think what was more powerful that everyone stood up, you know, and came and showed up and stood unified, like that was the goal. So
yeah, no, I absolutely agree, because I remember Cody asked me 3 nights before the event. He goes, hey, do you want to speak? I'm like, no, I think it should be somebody from, I want to hear my white friends speak. I want to hear the white voice. I want to hear them stand up for what they believe in. I want to hear what they want to say. And it wasn't until the morning of the event that Madigan was like, hey, are you going to speak or something like that? And I was like, no, I'm not. It's just like Cody, Sam, and Jojo, and Coach Newsom. And then I thought about it, and I was like, maybe I need to speak. You know, like, and then I talked to Cody, and Cody goes, you could give the moment of silence. I think that would be pretty powerful. So, like, just being up there, like you said, it's not about the words. Like, yeah, it was on my birthday, so that even made my birthday more special. Because my mom asked me that that morning at 6 a.m., and I go, yeah, Mom, this is all I want. Like, I don't want any money. I don't want any presents. This is all I want. And that's all I got. And it was great. But I remember, like, it wasn't just about the words, like you said earlier. It was about the people showing up. It was about seeing that strength, the strength in numbers, the strength that you have, the support, where the school has kind of failed a little bit, but the students stood up for what they believed in. Because it's a bit, the students are a big organization. So it's what makes the school keep ticking. And I just thought that was very powerful. So yeah, I'm still buzzing about it.
Yeah,
it's not something that's just going away, and that's been one of the coolest things I've ever been part of, if not the coolest, honestly. And I'll definitely cherish that moment. Hopefully, it can continue to grow more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, and I think I mentioned to you as well, and if you listeners weren't aware of that event, they can see some pictures on our Facebook page and Instagram at Warburg Knights, and Instagram too. I think I mentioned that to you, Andrew. Like, it was like within less than 24 hours, it was like by far our most liked posts on Instagram, which is, you know, most of our audience is students, so it's pretty clear that you guys made an impact. So it's pretty cool. Andrew, you mentioned your mom. Can you just tell us about your story growing up, you know, how you got into soccer and how you eventually ended at Warburg?
Wow, that's a long story. I'll make it as short as I can.
Brief recap.
Definitely, I was born in South Africa, but I grew up in Uganda, East Africa. I grew up going to boarding schools and everything, and obviously my mom is a single mom. She's disabled. She had polio at a young age, so she's been in a wheelchair and on crutches since she was like 5 years old. Now she's like 55. So she's a very independent lady, very nice, very strong-willed, very stubborn as well. But like, she raised us to have, one of the things she raised us to do was just have respect. I remember as a kid, I would go to primary school, and one thing she would be like, respect your friends, respect your teachers. That's the one rule she would give me when I leave the house every single day of primary school. So that's something I definitely pride myself in, just having to hear people out and just being respectful. But yeah, my household wasn't very big. I used to have a sister, but obviously with circumstances she ended up passing away, so that was pretty tough. But I now have a little brother. His name is Mark. Very smart, very genius kid, very good at soccer too. But growing up, we didn't really value soccer as a big thing in our household. I grew up playing rugby, so rugby is my main sport. And some of my families play rugby and everything, so it was really cool. So it wasn't until I came to the States that I think this was 2013. Yeah, 2013 when I started playing soccer, and I liked it. I had a notch for it. I was quick. I was fast. And I just wanted to score goals. I actually played striker, if you believe it. But no, it kind of took off. And childhood wasn't the best circumstances. Like, we didn't have everything, but I would say we were very happy. Like, we lived a very simple life back home. And my mom made sure we knew like all the different languages that was spoken, which was like 4 to 5 languages spoken in our place. And she just made sure we were given everything we needed, even though we didn't have everything, you know? Like, I don't know if that makes sense. Because here you kind of like, I feel like being in America now, I'm very privileged to have a lot of things that I don't even need. But no, it was a very humble childhood. I really appreciate what my mom did for us. And growing up with a small brother, it just gave me energy to just be the leader, the dad role. So I always had the pride, and I pride myself in my little brother a lot. I talk about him a lot because I'm always happy to see the kid, and I'm always happy to hear his voice. So I hope we can continue on our legacy that my mom taught us, because now my brother is doing big things, bigger than me, I guess. So we'll see where the future takes us. But for the most part, I'm just a simple kid from Uganda where I got lucky and won the lottery and just came to America, and I started a new life here, and I've met pretty cool people all over the world. I traveled for 2 years after high school. It was very eventful. And with that, I learned how to be myself and just learn to be more humble in a way. So that's something I'm very thankful for not just my mom, but for the people that I've surrounded myself with, you know? So yeah, that's about it. Yeah. Nothing too deep.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, for you, Cody, growing up not too far from here, you know, I'd venture to guess that even here in Iowa, soccer is still a pretty culturally diverse sport. I don't know, I could be wrong, but, you know, what have you learned from some of your teammates that come from a different background like Andrew, and how do you think some of that diversity can, you know, benefit the team and our school in general?
Yeah, Andrew has a very unique story that, I mean, a lot of people should kind of know because, I mean, he's one of few here at Warburg, and we definitely pride him and his place here. So thank you, Andrew. And yeah, as you said, I'm from Cedar Rapids. I went to a high school that's also very diverse, much more diverse than here. But I mean, I was privileged enough to kind of see a lot of different cultures within my high school years. I mean, I think in my like starting lineup junior and senior year, it was probably 7 or 8 languages as well. We had like 3 white kids on the whole varsity team, which was just insane. But it allows you to kind of just be more open-minded and understanding of where others are coming from. And it's kind of shaped my ideals and my outlook on life. It's a much larger world and a much larger picture for me. because I went to Jefferson and am now here. So if we can just promote the voices, let them know that we appreciate them and that they're welcome. I mean, it's just the little things, just checking in on them. Mm-hmm. Like I remember in high school, I mean, a lot of them lived in apartments by my house on the way to practice. So I would just pick them up, take them out to dinner if they need. I mean, it's the little gestures that just go a really long way. So I'm just hoping to like kind of continue that here at Warburg.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's anticipated, you know, in the spring, if all goes as planned, that you'll have an 8-game conference schedule, and that was announced late in September by the American Rivers Conference. So, I mean, the stakes are going to be high. Just what excites you most about, the spring schedule?
Okay, I got it. I mean, it's felt like forever since we've played, honestly. We didn't have a spring season. We didn't have a fall season. It's exciting just to get out and practice. So actually seeing a game, I mean, that'll just be amazing. And especially as you become an upperclassman, you start to realize that your time's coming to an end. And even at practice, you got to cherish every practice, stay focused, play as hard as you can, because, like the moments aren't going to be like infinite anymore. Like it's coming to an end. So really just cherishing every game is something that I hope and plan to do with all the rest of the guys. So
yeah, no, that's something I can definitely relate to, because I remember that high school feeling when I played my last game. I think we were lost in the state qualifiers to one of our biggest rivals, and I just sat down and just looked. And I was like, all the freshmen, I was like, wow, they're so young. I just remember where, like, I was there, like, still learning English, basically, as a freshman. And now I'm here, like, it's time flies by, like Cody said. Like, I don't want my legacy here at Warburg to go unnoticed. I want to stand up for something bigger than me. And going back to the speech we gave at Old Main, that was the goal, standing up for something that's bigger than you. Mm-hmm. Not being selfish. So I just want to leave a mark, I guess. I try to leave a mark on all the people I meet. I try to talk a lot, and some people hate it, some people love it, but I'm very conversational, and I just want to leave that mark on Warburg. I want to leave my name and my teammates' names next to mine, where we're like, we did something, and it's something that still stands, you know? So it's definitely going to be weird having even a game, yeah, because we were so excited. First day of practice, we were like, we get to lace up our boots, and we're like, mm-hmm. Holy crap, coach is letting us actually practice. Other schools, Nebraska Wesleyan wasn't playing, Luther wasn't playing, Loris was going through some stuff. Like, all these schools were not playing. We were the only one that actually have had practice for this long. So even having a thought of a game, I'm like, I'm excited.
Yeah.
It's just the competition, like, competition in practice now is high.
Yep.
But, like, game status high, I don't think we're there yet, but I feel like when we get to spring, we'll be 100% ready with how much work we've put in and developed ourselves. So I'm definitely looking forward to spring, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. You guys had a scrimmage last weekend, right? Have you had a couple of those, or how have those gone?
We've had 3 scrimmages so far.
Yeah, just about every weekend.
Yeah, we have this coming week. Tomorrow we have a scrimmage, I think it's at 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And then the following week we have another scrimmage, but then we'll skip we have a bye week, so we won't have a scrimmage that next week. But yeah, no, Madigan has been on top of his stuff and kind of making us run like horses recently. It would seem like, but you know, it's been really fun. The scrimmages have helped, I guess, on the coaching side. They've kind of helped them like know who's where, and definitely it tests your endurance and your stamina, so they can tell when you're tired, and they can tell like, okay, this is first team priority and this is second team priority. So I don't think they've formed their teams yet, but if they have, it's definitely through all the games and the practices.
Mm-hmm.
So the practices have been more intense. The games have been much more intense than the practices, for sure. So with that being said, I think we're going to be ready by spring. So that will be fun.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Who were your guys' favorite sports heroes or role models growing up?
Yeah, I'll take this first. It's pretty straightforward for me. I was actually born in San Antonio, and I was watching some jersey retirements last night, and it's 100% Tim Duncan.
Nice.
I mean, he just means so much to the city of San Antonio, and I've followed the Spurs for my whole life, watched just about every game, and just the way he kind of was so classy, carried himself, just kind of in the dark, but always did everything right. Like staying after practice, if you miss a shot, that's big. You're there the next morning, 5 a.m., doing that shot hundreds of times. If somebody misses that shot in a game, then you take him out to dinner, you call him in the room. I mean, the way he just carried himself is honestly something that I try to live by. And there's a quote that he said that my sophomore basketball coach kind of always said was, good, better, best, never let it rest until my good is better and my better is best. And that's just always stuck with me. So, I mean, Tim Duncan, Coach Popovich, people that I try to live by.
Cool. How about you, Andrew?
For me, it would have to be kind of a soccer player, because I was really into soccer when I played rugby as a child. I always liked watching Italy play. I don't know why. But my favorite person there was Fabio Cannavaro. He's a retired former defender. And his mentality, just like looking, I think I look back at some film I had from the World Cup they had in America a few years, like way back. And just like when Italy was really at their peak in the World Cup, and just his tenacity to get things done, his like aggression, his like the way he just saw everything, just like drove me to do what I could in sports. And I always just strive to be like faster than the next person next to me, or even a little bit like aggressive. And then another person would be like probably Carlos Puyol. These are all defenders. And I guess even though I was playing strike, I always wanted to be a defender secretly. So no, definitely these people have shaped my life to just like show leadership. And I think I've always been kind of a leader in a way. I just never really knew it. I just never really voiced my opinions very much, because I feel like that makes people get divided. So I always keep stuff to myself until recently. But yeah, no, it was a fun childhood. I would say my mom is one of my heroes too. Because the fact that if I look back, like a disabled lady with polio and crutches raising two boys, like if you're raising a girl, maybe that's a different story. I don't know about that. Like I've never had a girl. But like if you're raising boys, I know we were very rowdy, we were very stubborn, and we hated showers, both my brother and I. So she would have to chase us around the house on her crutches to catch us so that we could take showers. And I think she's one of the most respected heroes of my life. For sure, she's at the top of that list. I'm a very big mama's boy. Awesome. So definitely.
Cool. Yeah. Any favorite Wartburg soccer memories? Maybe it's one game or one moment that stands out?
Yeah, I kind of identified one last night. That'd be against Loris my freshman year on the road. We actually ended up losing that game in extra time. But it was still a crazy moment. Super intense game towards the end of the fall. And I played very well that game, and it meant a lot to put forth a good performance, because my high school coach, a lot of my old high school teammates, and my whole family were there, and that was the first time they all kind of came for one of my college games. And I mean, they've been supportive throughout all this, and it meant a lot just to kind of see them up there. It definitely gave me some extra push into my tackles and a lot more energy to just go forward with the game. So that definitely stood out, to have a good performance in a place like that.
Mm-hmm. How about you?
mine would probably be a Luther. It was a road game last year. I remember Coach Madigan came and talked to me before the bus left Wartburg, actually, and he goes, hey, so we're thinking of starting Frazee and blah, blah, blah. I was like, the entire trip I was thinking of, like, why aren't I starting? And then I had this moment, the aha moment you have before games, and my aha moment was I looked out outside the window and I just saw, like, I don't know, it was just weird. I just saw like this car pass by, but like I thought God was talking. Like if a little voice in my head was like, you'll be fine. Like you play 5 minutes, you go on, you make a difference. The next person comes on for you and you'll be fine. And so like that just changed my mentality the entire time. So like I was listening to what's his name? He's some slow singer. And then that changed to like Eminem and then rap and then like Kygo. Like it went to like alternative and like, I don't know, just like a little bit more hype music. And we get there and we're warming up and I just kept looking at Frazee And I go, why is he starting? Why is he starting? Obviously, like, I knew he's good. Like, we're both very competitive. And I was like, okay, maybe he did something better than me last game. But I'm like, no, I started last game. So, like, I'm just thinking about it in my head. And I was like, just don't think about it. And then Frazee plays. And then Frazee gets subbed out. And I go on the pitch. I was like, okay, 5 minutes. Madigan is probably going to pull you out. Like, Frazee's going to be rested and ready to go back on. So I literally went and gave it my all. And, like, I looked at the clock and it was... Because I sat down with 15 minutes left. I looked at the clock. I was like, 2 minutes left in the half. And then I finished the half and I was so excited. And I looked at Madigan and I thought he was going to make a second half adjustment. And Frazee, they moved Frazee to the middle of the field. And I said, I still played right back. Because Sam, our official right back, is usually where it's hard. So I was like, okay, I guess I'm starting second half. I played the entire second half. And I was like, we won by one. I think it was 1-0.
Yeah.
Yeah. And after that game, I think I realized that most things are mental. And fear, obviously, fear makes you feel small. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you go into something 100%, even though you don't have, you just don't have a lot to lose. Like, you're like, what am I going to lose if I give it 100%? You're not going to lose anything. You're just going to look like the hero. So I think I gave it, that's the best game I've ever played in my entire life, actually, where I gave it 100%. And it might have just contributed just a little part in our win and just, like, sealing down. I think I was playing on the right side, and I just sealed down the right side, and it was great. So as a team victory, that was the first time we've beaten Luther in 5 years. It was pretty amazing feeling, and seeing all the seniors cry because that was their last game. Yeah. It was just like, holy crap, I was a part of that. So like I said earlier, it's doing those little things that makes you feel like you're a part of a bigger thing. So that was pretty cool. Yeah, that was my favorite game for sure.
Cool. Yeah. What's some of the best advice you guys have ever received?
I'll go first with this. The first thing that kind of came to my head was also pertaining to the Spurs. So last spring, like literally the day after Kobe's death, my dad called me and he had got second row seats to the Spurs at Bulls game. We went to go see that, saw the Kobe tribute, and we talked a little bit. And I mean, the main thing that just kind of stood out was that you have to really just cherish every moment and kind of just be in the moment and grasp it while you're in it. And because you never know when something like that can happen. I mean, car accidents happen. Stuff happens. Like, it's life. So while you're here, you just got to enjoy it while you can. And that's something that has definitely stuck with me throughout this last spring. And I also had surgery this summer and then COVID. And now here. So just enjoy while you can.
All right.
Yeah. I would have to go back to my mom again. Since I was a little kid, she would always tell me, live and let live. Mm-hmm. Those words have so many meanings to so many different people. But to me, they basically just pertain to me, like, you have so much freedom in this world that you can do whatever you put your mind to. And being yourself is the best of those things. So don't be afraid to be who you are just because somebody tells you to do this. That sounds cliche, but if you put it in your own words, like, live and let live. Where my mom was like, you have to find your own destiny. Where I feel like we're too sheltered nowadays as kids, I guess. Like, parents shelter their kids way too much. Where my mom was like, I'm going to shelter you, but I'm going to leave you do your thing. So, like, I remember when I was going to Europe for my first year to travel and just hang out with my friends, I worked all summer. I had worked previous summers through eighth grade, freshman year. I did Tassot and I worked at Huat and I also did a car wash. So I had three jobs that entire summer and I saved up all my money from eighth grade and I had finally enough to travel by myself. My mom was like, I brought it up to my mom and she's like, yeah, remember what I told you? I was like, yes. She's like, live and let live. So each time I literally step in a new place, each time I see somebody, I try to cherish those moments with them because you never know when it's your last. And I definitely had a few last moments with some of my friends, sadly. But I'll always cherish the moments that you live with them, the moments you let go of that and just kind of stay in the moment with them and just hang out and just be you, you know? So definitely be yourself and never change for what you feel like society is telling you to do. Just continue being yourself. So, yeah.
Awesome. We'll let you guys leave with some of the final words here. Do you guys want to give any shout-outs or maybe a final message to, you know, continue to spread some of the words that you guys did last week?
It was really cool to see all the people who were, like, signing up to join the different organizations here. So shout-out to them, like Black Student Union, Salsa I Club. And there are a lot of different clubs that have just been started, too, because of this. So yeah. I would say get involved with clubs, attend their meetings, have conversations with Andrew, myself, or anybody else. I mean, don't be scared. Everything that I've heard, I mean, white people need to kind of take a step forward on this issue. Sometimes we kind of get caught, and like, we're in Waverly, Iowa. I realize where we're at. We're a smaller town in Iowa. But you just have to be bigger than that and just be open-minded to what others are going through. Reach out to them. Just be a good person. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's right. That's absolutely right. Because I feel like the people I need to give them the most shout-out to would be the people that open their minds. I think that was pretty cool. Just like for some, everybody open their minds up and just listen to something different. So that's definitely a shout out to those guys, and just keep learning, just keep being who you want to be, and just don't be held down for what you believe in. You know, like, it's not about politics and about anything else. It's about being a human being. So as long as you keep your ideas and your mind open, you definitely have a good time and just succeed.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again for your time today, guys. And I really do commend your leadership. Really was a powerful thing you guys put together last week. Great job.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you very much, friend.
Thanks for tuning into the Birdcast. If you enjoyed the podcast, please do us a favor with a retweet at Warburg Knights on Twitter or a share on Facebook. Check out the official Warburg Athletics website at go-knights.net for all the up-to-date news and information, where you'll also find the latest podcast posted.